everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Simply Amazing. Just me, Tim Ryder. We are back. Going to do a quick one today. We got the Pirates coming in on Monday. We had a very eventful weekend in Queens. The Mets have been playing some terrific baseball. Let's go ahead and jump into it. So the Mets have now won three series in a row. Braves, Reds, and the Royals, who are Kansas City's the hottest team in baseball right now. I think we saw exactly why. You have arguably the one of the best players in the game, one of the best young players in the game, in Bobby Witt Jr., who's just, I think, a breakout season would be an understatement. You know, last year was a heck of a year. So far this season, he's just been unreal. You know, all fields, speed. He is the epitome of a five-tool player. The Royals pitching staff looked really good, but the Mets, you know, they're able to shake off a really, really tough start to the season. And they're putting things together. You can almost see the confidence building. The pitching staff's been really, really good. We'll talk about what we've seen there. You kind of have to be happy with how this team responded after kind of getting their teeth kicked in over the first week of the season. You know, you win series. You move through the season and you try to make the most out of opportunities. And, you know, you're not going to win them all. You're not going to win every series. But, you know, when things go bad, you do your very best to pick yourself up and keep it going. And I think right now the Mets are showing us that resiliency, that fight, that not backing down mentality. And it's nice, even when they lose, they're showing fight. It's really cool to see. You know, I know a lot of the fan base wasn't really expecting a lot from this team as far as competitiveness. Oh, they you know, the Mets weren't looking at this season as a, I guess internally, of course, you want to be competitive, but they weren't looking at this year as a, you know, let's make a run for a World Series. It's let's be competitive. And I think the fans kind of took a cue from that, but took that a little overboard and said, you know, this is a team that should be better than most fans were expecting. And so far, it looks like they are going to be a somewhat competitive team. And, you know, the intangibles, you know, that fight at the end of the game, that stringing hits together when you really need it. Bullpen has been outstanding with just getting outs when needed. All these things, like, combined will result in a fun season. If they can make it into the dance and make some waves, cool. If they could stay in the hunt through the season, through the summer, I mean, that would be fun as well. It's just, you know, I guess we'll have to see how it goes after the first week. You know, people were ready to say, oh, it's going to be a 100 loss season, and it still might be, but I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with where things are going. And, so far, I think you have to be pleasantly surprised with how things are going. Real quick, got to get into Doc Gooden. Dwight Gooden's number 16 was retired this weekend. Sunday at Citi Field, just packed house. The emotion, I said it on social media, the feeling of joy that was so evident as Gooden was traveling around the warning the warning track after he made his terrific, albeit brief, speech, but really hit all the right notes, and it was cool. You know, that personal kind of delivery, it wasn't, you know, I don't want to say it wasn't a prepared speech, but it was personal, and it was his true feelings, and I think that resonated with the crowd, with the fans, whoever was watching. It's great to see, and just the adulation after so many ups and downs in his life and in his career, to come back to where it all started, to get so much love from the fan base. And, you know, you can't not talk about his missteps as a human, whatever. We're all human. We make mistakes. Dwight Gooden made some pretty hefty mistakes. I think Dwight Gooden has been trying a very long time to get his life in order. And you know, again, no one's perfect. And the contributions that he's given this organization on the field, I guess, for the powers that be, outweigh any negatives that may be associated with his legacy. And for someone like Dwight Gooden, who was that incredible as a player, I guess it gives perspective to, yeah, off the field, there were issues, and there's no contesting those issues. And those issues range from, you know, self-harm via substances and alcohol to hurting others. And that's just, it's not ideal, but, you know, to appreciate the person for the progress they've made, not the mistakes they've made. I think there's something to be said about that. And the love that we saw for Dwight Gooden on Sunday, it's just a testament to that love that, you know, the connection between fans and players, the joy that this game brings us and the joy that these players bring us. And yeah, I can see the hypocrisy with some people kind of turning a blind eye to things. And Dwight's not the only one that's been down this road. We as Mets fans have seen many players off the field just do some awful things, but on the field they were incredible. I think you have to have a certain level of perspective when taking these things into account, when looking into the situation. As far as Dwight Gooden, no, there's no denying he did what he did off the field, and there's no standing up for that. There's no excusing that. It is what it is. It's disappointing, but once again, probably for the third time, we're human. Humans are not infallible. Humans are not perfect. Humans make mistakes on a daily basis. It's all about picking yourself back up. And I think that's what Dwight Gooden has done for so long. Is just keep on picking himself back up. And I hope that the love that he felt this weekend will continue to kind of propel him through his journey. And that's what it is. It's a journey. There's ups and downs. There's hills and valleys. There's ebbs and flows. And that goes for baseball. It goes for life. That's that beautiful intersection that we've talked about so many times. Really, it was a tremendous weekend. And the perspective, the full picture of everything, it almost made it that much more special just to see the arc of redemption from, you know, rock bottom to back in front of, you know, 30,000 people all cheering your name. It had to have been a special day for Doc. And I tip my cap to him. I tip my cap to the Mets organization for putting together just a wonderful ceremony. Whole weekend, it looks like all the players and family who were on hand to celebrate really, really enjoyed themselves. Again, the happiness and the love, it was all palpable. You could see it through the screen. You could see it, you know, if you were in the building. It was truly special. I guess let me go ahead and run through my notes here. Jose Buto, we got to give him a round of applause. He was terrific on Sunday. His changeup was absolutely dastardly. I think he picked up 9 strikeouts. 8 of them were on the changeup, I believe. If I'm wrong there, I do apologize. But yeah, he's been a godsend. He's, you know, you can look at this whole rotation and be like, oh, well, you know, you have a whole rotation of mid-rotation guys. But when all of these guys have ceilings of, you know, 2s, a couple of them have ceilings of 1s, even when you're throwing out a 5 and he could be a 3, you're going to get a good, at least a chance to win. And that's all you can look for in a starting pitcher is give me the opportunity to win this game. Everyone else has to do their job too. And it's a process. We've seen the offense wake up. We've seen certain players wake up. I mean, you look at Brett Beatty. I talked about it with Andrew Claudio on Mets Therapy. I was on his show last week. The confidence and the confidence in everything he's doing. It's not just, you know, oh, he looks good at the plate, which he does. He looks good in the field, which he does. His arm looks good. Everything he's doing with a certain air of confidence that's, I think that only comes after experiencing what Brett Beatty experienced last year, this offseason, working to get better. I mean, last year, that was really, really tough to see. Brett Beatty started off hot. MLB pitching caught up with him. They absolutely broke him down. Some guys don't make it back from that. Just the fact that Brett Beatty has made it back from that, that's a testament to what he can do in this game. You have to be resilient. You have to have the ability to bounce back after some down times. And Brett Beatty's done that, and he's done it in spades. He's hitting the ball well. I mean, the exit velocity isn't there. He's squaring up the ball, and he's getting line drives, and he's keeping it off the ground for the most part, which is a welcome improvement from last year. He was putting the ball on the ground a lot last year. You can see that the power in his swing will be there. You can see that those line drives, I mean, his swing is built for line drives. He's just a level, steady guy. He's going to hit the crap out of the ball. It's just what he does. Everyone was really concerned about his fielding, but he's even showing great gains there. We talked with, this might have been when he was doing the Arizona Fall League and really had a breakout there. I want to say I spoke with Mark Tremada, who was part of the Mets scouting department at the time, and he just raved about Beatty's, one, athleticism, two, his ability to learn and his willingness to take the lumps and build off of them. I mean, he spoke directly to this, and you can even go back to one of our older episodes. Me, Matt Brownstein, and Dennis Cook, former Mets reliever Dennis Cook, joined the show. Dennis Cook was, on the coaching staff of Beatty's high school team or local and followed him. I forgot exactly the situation, but he said this is the most seasoned and well-oriented high school hitter I've ever seen. And I'm quoting Dennis Cook, a major league pitcher, on that. And a lot of people kind of took it with a grain of salt. A lot of people looked really, really tough into his down times and said, oh, this guy sucks. Again, I'll go back to it. Like I said before, there's a big picture, and baseball's all about the big picture. And I think for someone like Brett Beatty, and really anybody, that big picture, it means so much because it shows you the ups and downs. It shows you, okay, well, this is where I struggled, and I remember this is what I did. Look at what I did here. So next time you're down in the dumps, next time you're slumping, next time you're in a funk, you look back and say, yep, I remember what I did here. And you realize and say, oh, yeah, I have a foundation. And that's exactly what Brett Beatty's done. He's looked and said, I have a foundation. And that just instills confidence. It instills self-confidence, self-esteem. Makes you feel that you can do it. And Brett Beatty, he's showing everyone that, yeah, he can do it. Are there going to be bumps? Of course there are going to be bumps. There's always going to be bumps. Major league players who have been here for a decade have ups and downs. The adjustments is what is key. The adjustments is what is the magic in development and progress. That's just what we're seeing in Brett Beatty right now. Look at Francisco Lindor, who's actually next on my list. Francisco Lindor is mired in quite possibly one of the most futile, unproductive spots in his career. He started the season, I don't have no numbers in front of me, but he started the year just awful. And he's shown signs and he's hitting the ball hard. But it's inconsistent and it's tough to watch. And I know the people, he gets paid all this money. Well, first of all, it's not your money, so you really shouldn't be upset. And two, has Francisco Lindor, has he not proven via his track record over the past few seasons that he is one of the best shortstops in the game? Whether you want to look at him as an all-around player, whether you want to look at him as an offensive threat, which he absolutely is, batting average is one tool of a game. Yo, he hits 250, 260. So what? Everything else that he does is upper echelon, upper crust stuff. Everything, whether it's every other tool you want to look at, he does it. And yeah, sure, so what? So he might hit, 240 for a couple of weeks. He'll hit 280 a couple of weeks later, and then he'll find himself somewhere in the middle. That's just what Francisco Lindor does. He's absolutely struggling right now, but to have any even like an inkling of doubt that he won't find his way out of this, I mean, that's just short-sighted. That's just kind of yelling at the clouds. I mean, you know that the sun's going to come out tomorrow. You know that Francisco Lindor is going to find his groove. It's just a matter of time. Luckily, the Mets have been able to kind of withstand that. they're playing, again, some pretty good baseball right now. They're a game under 500 going into this weekend. Pete's turning on. His power is just incredible. It's a very, very breezy weekend versus the Royals this weekend. And he sent two on Saturday directly into the wind. 22 degrees and 25 degree launch angles. They're just piss missiles, man. And yeah, you know, these are the types of things. Yeah, one guy's slacking, the other guy's pick him up. That's just how it works. And that's how things click. That's how teams win ball games. You know, who was it the other day? Manaea. Sean Manaea had a very tough day on the mound. It was probably his first tough day of the season. And the Mets went out and they did all they could to kind of bring him back in the game. I mean, these are the hallmarks of a competitive ball club. Picking guys up. One guy's down, let's keep it moving and you know, keep the good times rolling. And you know, our big guy, Francisco Lindor, he's going to be back. He always will. And I guess, to an extent, you just have to be pleased with the Mets' ability to kind of roll with the punches. And there have been punches so far. And there's going to be punches throughout the year. That's just the name of the game. They've kind of done all they can to keep it moving. And you have to tip your hat to that. You got Pittsburgh coming in for three. Pittsburgh's playing some really, really nice baseball. This is a terrific young team. This is a team that's going to be making waves, getting older, developing, getting mature. I'm going to look at just a few of the names I have jotted down here. So my favorite player on the Pirates by far is O'Neill Cruz. This is a future star, no question. He can run. He can hit the tar out of the ball. He will hit for average. For large spurts, he'll slump just like anyone else. But boy, that is one outstanding young ball player. Key Brian Hayes, of course, son of former major leaguer Charlie Hayes. Excellent, excellent young player. He's going to be a cornerstone for this group. Andrew McCutchen, who is leading a young team by example. You know, he hit his 300th home run over the weekend. He waited a very, very long time to get that. So, round of applause for Kutch. But it seems like, you know, Pittsburgh's kind of put all of the right pieces together. They have incredible talent bubbling up through their farm system, some of which has already landed here. I mean, you can look at guys, Carmen Malinsky, Paul Skeens, who they just drafted last year. Henry Davis, who, you know, came up and he's already catching behind the plate. He's struggling a little bit, but I think he's going to be just fine. Brian Reynolds, another veteran who, you know, the Pirates never spent any money. Brian Reynolds is like, I want to be here. And they got all they could together for him, and he gets to hang out and see this team kind of fulfill themselves. I'm a closet Pirates fan. I really am. This is a fun team to watch. Jack Sawinski has A-plus power. He might even get you, you know, a little bit more than that. He's just a wonderful young hitter. Another guy who just rushed up through the system. Him and Davis. I want to say they were drafted a year apart. And just, boom, breezing right through and making an impact. You have to really take note of what this team organization has done after some very, very lean years. They're finally looks like they figured it out, and it's fun to see. I mean, it's a great sports town, Pittsburgh, great baseball city. I think it's going to be a really, really cool time to be a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and you don't get to say that very often. So good for the fans. I'm happy for them. Edward Olivares, big fan. I think he came over from Kansas City, wasn't really in the plans there, made his way to Pittsburgh, and I think that he can make some waves. I really do. He's not going to be a, you know, all-star level guy, but good player. Keep an eye on him this week. Who do the Mets have going? Adrian Houser tonight, Monday night, Quintana on Tuesday, and Seve for the getaway day matinee on Wednesday. Again, we've seen some very, very good innings and outings from all three of these guys so far. All you can do at this point is just hope that they keep it going. Hope that the Mets can keep on racking up wins when they can. More series you win, the better you are. More games you win, the better you are. But yeah, you know, one game at a time, just you go down, don't lose your mind, get back in the game. You know, we've seen so many Mets teams just, oh, down by four, let's mail it in. This team, you know, it's early and they haven't done it a whole lot yet, but they've done it enough to be like, oh, well, this could be a fiery young group. And, you know, I guess you just got to hope for the best. As I told you guys, it's a quick one. Just me. I don't want to keep you too long. We will, again, see you on Monday night for the Pirates. Taryn and I should be back later in the week. We'll talk to you guys then. Until then, you know the sign off. It's Let's Go Mets. And we'll see you guys next time. Peace.